ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 9 टेक्स्ट 47 Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Tushtuvur munayo hrishta krishnang tad guhya nam abhihi tataste krishna hridaya Svashraman prayuyuf punaha. Translation: all the great sages then glorified Lord Sri Krishna, who was present there by confidential Vedic hymns. Then all of them returned to their respective hermitages, bearing always Lord Krishna within their hearts. Purport: the devotees of the Lord are always in the heart of the Lord, and the Lord is always in the hearts of their devotees. Famously from Canto 9 of the Bhagavatam, Sadhavo Hridayam Mahyang Sadhu Nang Hridayam Tuhang Maranyate Najananti Nahang Tebhyo Managapi. Krishna says, Sadhavo Hridayam Mahyang, the devotees, the sadhus, they are my heart, or they are in my heart, and I'm in their heart because they know nothing but me and I know nothing but them. So I'll start reading the purport again. They're spraying, but it looks like it's going to be rain, huh? So it's just a waste of effort. Anyway, the devotees of the Lord are always in the heart of the Lord, and the Lord is always in the hearts of their devotees. That is the sweet relation between the Lord and His devotees. Due to unalloyed love and devotion for the Lord, the devotees always see Him within themselves, and the Lord also, although He has nothing to do and nothing to aspire to, is always busy in attending to the welfare of His devotees. For the ordinary living beings, the law of nature is there for all actions and reactions, but He is always anxious to put His devotees on the right path. The devotees, therefore, are under the direct care of the Lord, and the Lord also voluntarily puts Himself under the care of His devotees only. So all the sages headed by Vyasadeva were devotees of the Lord, and therefore they chanted the Vedic hymns after the funeral ceremony, just to please the Lord who was present there personally. All the Vedic hymns are chanted to please Lord Krishna. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, all the Vedas, Upanishads, Vedanta, etc. are seeking Him only. Sarve Veda Yadpadam Tam Amananti. Is that it? Something like that from Katha Upanishad? It has the same purport as Vaidesha Sarve Ahameva Vedya. And all hymns are for glorifying Him only. The sages therefore performed the exact acts suitable for the purpose, and they happily departed for their respected hermitages. Hermitage means ashram. And continuing, remembrances of devotees in my first 2 years or so in this movement in the United Kingdom. I read this purport about the sweet relation between the Lord and His devotees. Obviously, this refers to pure devotees. And the devotees in London were, you could say, not exactly on that level. But still, exalted personalities. Because they, by the grace of Prabhupada, took to Krishna consciousness. So even though this purport refers to the great devotees who Krishna accepts them as part of His heart, but still, we're all on the path. Of course, everyone is. Amavart Manuvartante. Everyone's on the path. Everyone's connected with Krishna. But while we shouldn't equate neophyte devotees with highly advanced devotees, that's one kind of misjudgment, to think that everyone who is a beginner is Not to make any distinction, just think, well, everyone's great, highly elevated, pure devotee. On the other hand, we also shouldn't make the mistake of thinking that because someone is seemingly neophyte, that they're just some ordinary materialistic person. That's another mistake. So that's a very big topic, Vaishnav Tattva. But undoubtedly, those devotees who, at least at that time, they were, and many of them still going on up to the present day, chanting Hare Krishna, their whole life is dedicated in Krishna's service, morning till night, every day, day after day. So, great personalities, no doubt. So now I'm going to go on continuing that, describing some of my godbrothers from those days, London, 1975, 1976, 1977, I came to India to stay. Next one I'm going to talk about is Amita. So Amita is a common name, but it's in India it's pronounced Amit, which is, or Am. It's a common name. One of the most prominent politicians in India at the present time is Amit, Amit Shah. Don't know, in a few days his prominence might take a big tumble. But anyway, I'm just making it's a very well-known name. It's a common name. But we didn't know how to pronounce names, so just we saw the name written, A-M-I-T-A, and we pronounced it the best we could. And in English pronunciation, you generally stress the penultimate syllable, so it came out Amita. That's how we, and still up to the present day, they call him Amita. Ah, lot of memories of him. Actually not so many, but he's the kind of person who stands out in your mind because he's very cheery, smiling, can get angry sometimes also. From New Zealand, for all it's worth, Kiwi. My first memory of him is something that had a profound effect on me, actually. See what happened. I joined a Bhaktivedanta Mana, and I was given various services here and there, nothing specific. So he was the temple commander, Bhakta Raymond, I believe his name was. He was not initiated. I'm not sure if he's initiated on the same day as me, maybe before that. So one of the services given was to clean the stairs at Bhaktivedanta Mana with a small brush on a little pan like this. And it just so happened that when I was a kid, my mother always used to try to get me to do things like that, and I hated it. So I was doing it, and half-heartedly, or maybe quarter-heartedly, and up comes Amita, and with a severe, strong look in his face. So I'm going to show you how to clean for Krishna. Dung! That was a big revelation for me. Oh, it's for Krishna. Oh, then I might not have got the point if I'd have sat down in a Bhakti Shastri course. But just, it's like, you hear these things, the guru says something, and you get some realization. So it was like that, oh yeah, okay, I understand, it's for Krishna. Then he actually didn't have to show me after that. I understood, okay, we're doing it for Krishna. It's not just some miserable chore like my mother used to want me to do. Okay, so that was something great I got from Amita. I don't know whether to call him Amita or whatever. So he was always cheery, lot of life, bouncy. Again, I can remember him in the kirtans. He always used to play what they call these wampas. And he'd, jaja, we call him in Bengali, be dancing like this. Natural leader, even quite soon in the movement, he was made in charge of book distribution for all of Britain, because he had that quality. He'd get involved with people and enthuse them, and He's also a very good book distributor. He told me once in London, he was doing book distribution on the street. We just go out on the street and there are lots of people on the streets and you just stop people, which wasn't always very easy to stop people because they're in a hurry to go wherever they're going, going to hell, whatever. Stop people, get their attention, and sell them a book. So it takes a lot of concentration and determination and prayer to Krishna to be able to do that. And someone just all of a sudden stopped, and they want to sell you a book which you have no interest in whatsoever. Don't even have any idea what it's all about, and there are so many people in central London trying to sell you all kinds of things. So you're already predisposed not to take anything that they want to. There are all kinds of people trying to get money out of your pocket. On Oxford Street they have put up tables and they'd have gambling on the street, and then we'd see it as we were doing book distribution. So someone say, I can't remember what they're doing. Someone say, put your money down, and then someone puts £10 and in, they throw the dice or whatever, I can't remember. £20. Then again, he puts £20. Oh, yeah, £40. And he's saying to them, come on, all of you. It's great, you get, and everyone puts lots of money, and then boom, they lose it all. Because the guy who's getting the £10 double to 20, 20 double to 40, he's in cahoots with the guy who's running. And then they see the police coming and they just fold it up and run away. And like that, all kinds of things we see. On Carnaby Street, they have the photographers. They'll come up to you and say, oh, what country are you from? I'll take a photo. Give me your address, I'll send you. That's £5. And there's no film in their camera. They're all foreign tourists. And what are they going to do? All kinds of things. One early in the, at the beginning of the day, I remember going to Carnaby Street. At that time, it was a very fashionable street in central London. You ever heard of that? Carnaby Street is some kind. It's the kind of place foreign people go. You get Aussies from all over the world, people. So I was there, and there was one of these photographers there. So we were like competition for them because we were trying to get money out of people who are on the street, right? So he was saying, how long, because I was new, he said, how long have you been on doing this? I said, oh, about 2 weeks. He said, you won't last long. None of them last long. He's trying to discourage me. Because, like I say, he's a hustler, we're a hustler. The only thing is, he's cheating people and we're giving them Prabhupada's books. Anyway, I was going to say about Amita Prabhu. He told me, because I can just see him now. You stop people, look in their face with this bright smile and bright shining eyes and talk to them in a very pleasing way and very cheerful way, and they'd be happy to give him. So he's very good at selling Prabhupada's books by his personality. He told me one time he saw there was some woman was watching him for about 15 minutes or 20 minutes. Then she came out to him and said, I'm hiring people for sales. So you can come and join us. We'll give you so much money. Yes, forget it. Devotees became expert in selling. So yeah, I remember he was very enthusiastic, very cheery. His japa and his sadhana wasn't so wonderful. He used to tend to be sleepy during the japa period, telling jokes. He had a penchant for telling jokes, and then he'd say things which sounded like something spiritual, but then where did it come from? Just something he made up. So we used to refer to the Amita Samhita, because he'd just make things up like that. One time in Bhaktivedanta Manor, there was some young brahmacharini. I believe she was French, I can't remember. I'll probably get shot down by the anti-misogyny troops for saying this, but she was very lusty. And she seemed to have a crush on him. because he's nice, good looking, quite well built, and prominent, cheery personality. So in the temple, it was quite a big temple room, men on one side, women on the other side, dancing in kirtan. And she would dance in a very super enthusiastic manner and just come closer and closer to the men. And she'd regularly do that, and then the women would pull her back, and then she'd do again. And one time, Amita just picked her up and threw That is a memory of Amita in kirtan, or kirtan as he used to call it. Here we go. Had a great kirtan. Like that. Completely different personality. Subhag. Subhag. Maybe some of you know him. Subhag Swami. Yeah. He joined in England. He was studying there. There weren't many Indians studying in England at that time. Completely different. Very quiet, older. He had his own room to stay in. And we have had tiny room. It wasn't really a room, it was more like a storage locker. But when you have 50 people living in a place where no one's supposed to live in, it was illegal for anyone to live there. It was an office facility. Then he had his own rent. And you could squeeze two people in. So sometimes someone would stay with him. And he was translating Prabhupada's books. And Prabhupada told him to translate into Bengali. Very different personality to our young, bouncy brahmacharis, very passionate brahmacharis. And sometimes I'd go out on book distribution with him in London. And I remember that always on Sundays they'd want him to give class because so many Indian people would come and they wanted to give class in Hindi. But he would say, "I don't know Hindi." He's from Calcutta, and he knew Calcutta Bengali, and up to the present day, many Calcutta Bengalis don't know Hindi that much. But they would push him, and he would have to give class in Hindi, though he could hardly speak it. And actually, many of the people who were coming, they also couldn't speak it, because they were Gujaratis from Africa who never learned Hindi. So it was a bit of a farce, the whole thing. But they would push it, because they didn't have anyone else to speak in Hindi. He would dress the deities sometimes. Very sattvic personality, very, very different to all of us. Another one who was very different to all of us was Vrijendra Kumar, who later became known as Bhakti Vrijendra Nandan Swami, you may know, from Malaysia. Also Indian, Tamil by background. So he was there also, and he and Subhag, they were great friends. Actually, Subhag had first preached to Vrijendra Nandan in Birmingham. Vrijendra Nandan was going to college in Birmingham, which is the second city, said to be the second city in Britain, but I don't know if it still is. So they were very good friends, and they would get together and they would joke with each other and call each other bad names and this and that. No one would dare to call Subhag or joke with him or any such thing, because he was so, but they had their own rasa going on, their own joke. One thing about both of them is that even more than everyone else, we all would quote Prabhupada, Prabhupada said this, but more than anyone, especially Vrijendra Kumar, he would always, Prabhupada said this, we just have to follow Prabhupada, always on that point. Vrijendra Kumar was heavy on my case from the beginning. He was like that. I guess from his point of view, he was older than me, and I didn't know anything about the culture at that time, so he would just get in line like this. And I was on his traveling Sankirtan party. Maybe the first traveling party I went with him. And what happened, we were in some Chelmsford, I think, or I don't know, some university town. And so we parked in the university car park. We were going to stay there overnight, and then we thought we'll use the showers in the morning. And someone came along, a guard or something, and Vrijendra Kumar said something like, "Oh, we're staying here," which was a lie, which, you know, so what? But I was new and I was disturbed. Oh, he told a lie. I was disturbed. I was disturbed by that. And Rajendra Kumar wasn't able to sort that out for me in my mind. So when I met, when we went back to the temple, or maybe Prabhu Vishnu came. Prabhu Vishnu was in charge of the, he was the unspoken head of all the brahmacharis. Unofficial. So he explained to me and this and that. Then I understood that, okay, it's all right. The means justifies the end. And anyway, it's only a small lie. One devotee who was very influential on myself, Patit Udharan, we called him at the time. Now he's called Patita Pavana. The thing is that Prabhupada called him Patit Udharana, and then Prabhupada himself changed the name or something like that. I'm not sure exactly. All the devotees used to call him Patit, and he'd say, no, my name's not Patit. It's Patit Udharana. So, because he knew what, we didn't even know what it meant, but he knew what it meant. He'd been in India. And he was a very, I keep on saying that this devotee was very different from others, and that, because most of the devotees were young and full of life, I guess you could say, we used to use the word passionate, brahmacharis, but he was also a little older, not very much older. He was American from California, which made him different to all of us. He was living there. He'd been in India. He'd lived in India for some time, stayed in India. And his service was preaching to the Indians and making life members and this and that. But he was, he really didn't like Mayavad. Very good quality. And he would take the time to preach to me and drum it into my head that we don't like Mayavad. We're against this. Of course, it's everyone said that. That was there in the classes. But I really got it strongly from him. And which he'd got from Prabhupada. He'd tell me about the Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan, which had a branch there in central London and close to, I don't know, I never went there, but somehow the Indians there used to gravitate around that. But he was trying to get them to come to the temple. So he had a lot of run-ins with those people. And he would tell me about Gandhi, who, Mahatma Gandhi was highly respected in England. And among Indians, at that time, it was completely normal for them to have a picture of Mahatma Gandhi on the altar, along with all the other gods, and they would say he was an avatar. You don't see that at all now. Completely gone. They're very much into Mahatma Gandhi as being an avatar. But, so he, Patit Udharan, told me about that. He gave me good training in anti-Mayavad. He had me walk on his back regularly. Why would anyone do that? Well, he'd been in some road accident in America in which some devotees were killed. And he always had pain in his back, so he wanted someone to walk on his back, and none of the devotees would do it. But I was new, so I didn't know you're not supposed to walk on devotees' backs. So I did it. So that helped to relieve the pain that he would have. It was hard for him to get up in the morning because he was out late preaching Indian program, means preaching late. They'd come back late from work. Or they might have, many of them had their little stationery, what's it called, newspaper shop. And they would have long hours, they'd keep the shop open just to get whatever little pennies they could, because most of the Indians at that time in England were struggling. Some of them, a few very rich people, but many were struggling. So So there'll be late night programs. He would be. One thing I remember him saying to me, others might have been present there at the time, but he said, why is this temple so special? This Radha, Landanishwara temple, central London. Everyone had the feeling there's something very special here. Very special atmosphere. Everyone could feel that. Devotees would stop from all over the world, especially coming from going from America to India. Mostly devotees would take flights via London. There weren't that many flights there. Going up and down, traveling around the world, that was not much. There used to be a word, jet setter. That means people who are got lots of money and they fly here and there. It wasn't much. Nowadays it's a very normal thing. You meet someone, where did you come from? Oh, I just came from South America. Where are you going next? I'm going to Indonesia or something like that. Those days it wasn't so much. So mostly the flights would go through London. There were no direct flights from America to India. So devotees would make a point to stop off in London. And the prasadam was famous, and the deities Radha, Landanishwara were famous. So beautiful. If you just say beautiful, it's more than just the look that we can perceive through our eyes, but it's just very... there must be some words, but exactly what it is, I just can't think now. The whole atmosphere, the deities, the Radha, Landanishwara, they created. I heard this said, that Srila Prabhupada has said that Radha, Landanishwara, they're not deities. It's Radha and Krishna pretending to be deities. Once I was in London walking on the street, we'd go out regularly in kami clothes. Prabhupada had allowed that for book distribution. And so I was out distributing. And I saw two young men in kami clothes, and I approached them for book. And then immediately I understood they're devotees, and they understood I'm supposed to be a devotee. Even though they were dressed in kami clothes and just... So they were American devotees, and I hadn't seen them. They were passing through London, and immediately we could understand, without saying anything, just because devotees, they're blissful, I suppose. That must be it. And then they understood I was distributing books, because that's what great majority of the brahmacharis in the whole movement did at that time. You joined? And you're out on book distribution, that's all. So, Patito Dharan Prabhu, one time he said that, why is this temple so special? What's the answer? And he said, it's because of the temple president. I was thinking, Vichichavirya Prabhu, obviously. He said, temple president is Radha, Landanishwara. So that was a nice memory. There was Brijendra Kumar, I mean, there was another who we used to call, there was another Brijendra Nandan. He was a Gujarati studying to be a doctor. I suspect, although it may be a cruel thing to say, that he was living in the temple because he got a place to stay and vegetarian food, because he never seemed to be that much serious about devotional service. He hated to be got up in the morning, but we'd get him up anyway. We'd throw him in the shower. And cold shower, he hated it all. But anyway, he was there, he got initiated. Afterward, I don't know what happened to him. Now, there are two devotees I'm getting mixed up in my mind, Ratnanab, and we used to call him Muktiananda. Later, I think they call him Muktananda. Ratnanab, yeah. Ratnanab. Yeah. My main memory of him is him getting thrown down the stairs in his sleeping bag for refusing to get up in the morning. Steep stairs we had. But then he would be... So he could get up in the morning and do some service also. He was put in Radha Gokulananda's temple to sleep in the temple as a security. Then he had to get up in the morning. So that way he got up. I remember seeing him in the Bhaktivedanta manor in the hot shower. There were three shower stalls. One of them had hot water. Sometimes hot water came out of it. And it was just a thin, like this. And sometimes hot water would come out, and it just come out like that, so you couldn't get underneath it. But I remember seeing him later in the morning. He would come in, everyone would bathe early in the morning, and then he would spend a long time in the warm shower. When it would remain warm because people wouldn't take shower at that time, which was scandalous to go in the hot shower and stay there and enjoy the hot water. It was scandalous, sense gratification. That was considered wrong. It was pretty austere in those days. So, and he would chant this, which I hadn't heard before, as he was showering. Gange cha yamune chaiva Godavari Sarasvati Kaveri Sindhu. No, what is it? Kaveri Sindhu. Narmada Sindhu Kaveri Jalesmin Sanidhim Kuru. He would chant that. And then I asked, what's that all? And he explained it to me. Rancho Prabhu. One of the, in my mind, one of the great personalities of ISKCON in Britain, and he wrote that book also. Whoops! He was commissioned to write that book, which the history, the summary of the early history of Krishna consciousness in the United Kingdom. I mentioned that before. He was a high class kind of person, high class by the accent he spoke with, just his whole behavior. He's something like a demigod. He's quite tall and good looking and very, like I say, very, very high class kind of person, very devoted. When he would sit down and sing kirtan with a harmonium, it's just a very, very devotional sound of the kirtan, and he could understand his very deeply feeling for Krishna. One thing which he kept a bit of a secret, but later on not so much, is that he actually came from a Catholic, Roman Catholic background. He'd been to some high class school. He went to a Roman Catholic background, and he was actually very deeply attached to Christ, which he still retains. He didn't see, as Prabhupada often said, that he didn't see a difference. Well, he saw the difference that it's not that he rejected Christianity, or, well, he didn't reject Christ. He always had a very deep feeling for Christ, but he found that in Krishna consciousness, the love of God, which Christ spoke about, he found that in Krishna consciousness. So spent quite some time with him. We went to start a temple in Ireland. At that time there was no temple, so I was with him as we attempted to do that. We were distributing books. Once we were arrested in Belfast, there was by the army boys, they all rounded us up and arrested us. Some word came out to arrest us. They were pretty efficient, actually. They were quite good. They were well trained, because we were quite good at dodging the police. But the army boys, they were well trained, and they caught us pretty quickly. The police weren't so good at catching us. But they wouldn't look us in the eye, the army boys, because they felt, they didn't really want to do it, to arrest us. They're just the same age as us. So they brought us before the chief cop of Belfast, all our group, and Rancho was there also. They arrested us all. We were all distributing in different places. They took, and Rancho, he was so very, like I say, very high class. And immediately the chief cop was at ease, and he didn't feel any bad. He wasn't heavy on us or anything, and he just let us go. That's all. It's just one memory. There's so many things. One time in Berry Place Temple, it was breakfast time, and I was just talking to Rancho, and I said, "Oh, I just remembered, it's my birthday today," which is, you know, it's a big thing for people in the Western world, and I just remembered after being up for so many hours. So he said, "Congratulations. How old is your personal bag of stool today?" I spoke about Bhakta Raymond, who became Amita. There's another one, Bhakta Rodney, from Australia. I can't remember what his initiated name was, but he was the temple commander in Berry Place, which means you have to see that all the regular services get done. And but we had very few devotees there because there was a court order. I told you we had about 50 devotees staying there. No one was supposed to stay. The local people made some petition to get us thrown out, and it was in the court. And in the meantime, they made an order that, because we were running a temple there, so they put a minimum number of people could stay in the temple. So there were just very few of us. And he was the temple commander. So he was the one who's supposed to tell everyone, "Okay, you clean, you do this, you do that." But there's no one to tell, because there are very few devotees. So he would personally clean the whole building, top to bottom, himself, every day. There are five flights of stairs, I believe, on all the floors. He would just personally clean it all. He'd do it quite quickly. And then he was busy all day. He'd do all the services, always smiling, always happy. I just can't remember his name. That kind of dedication was there. No one told him that you have to do this. But he just did it. He was happy to do it. When he got time, he'd study Bhagavad Gita. Ah, Gokulananda. There's another Gokulananda, Prabhupada disciple from Canada, but this was one from Britain. He joined before me. I was on book distribution. Again and again, I'm talking about book distribution, because like I say, that's what we did. That's basically what we did. We went out and distributed books all day, every day. So I was out on book distribution with him once. Very, very good book distributor, very dedicated. Years and years later, I found out we were from the same town and the same area of the same town, but we never knew each other before we joined. And again, I remember his chanting, very, very intensely chanting, walking up and down, chanting his japa. So, all right, I'll finish there. It's going on. You can get a little bit of the flavor. Yeah, flavor of those days. American Rancho. Is there an American Rancho? Not that I know of. There was Ram Rai. There may be an American Rancho also.
Because in 1967, when Prabhupada first time went from...
Oh, yeah, there may be a devotee. Yeah, that's right. There were quite a few devotees that Prabhupada gave the same name to. I think there were three Anandamayis. There were definitely more than one Nrisingananda. There were three Shamasundas. One was the 1969 San Francisco Shamasunda. He's the most famous. Then there's the Shamasunda, who's the astrologer, who's in Bangalore right now. He's been there for some years, Prabhupada disciple. And there was one from Hawaii, and then there was one in Mayapur called Shamasundara Ananda. And if you want to meet him, you go to the main gate, and on the right there's a fruit stall, and that Shamasundara Ananda has his fruit stall. So, Shamasundara Ananda, yeah, Shamasundara. There are quite a few devotees Prabhupada gave the same name to. Yeah. And many of the names were misunderstood. And I think some of them got mixed up. Just like I said, the name one devotee, Tanumadhya Das, but that should be a female name, actually. And there are many like that. Many females got male names, but I think that's because it seems there are less females' names in the Vaishnav world. Just like if you see Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are not many female names there, are there? If you see the devotees, not much. You hear about Bhavananda Rai and his five sons, but Bhavananda Rai's wife is never mentioned, for instance. That would be called sexist nowadays, but that's just the way the world was in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. So there are not that many female Vaishnavas. I guess if you went to Lalita Sahasranama, you could pick up names of Durga like that. So many of the Srila Prabhupada's female disciples got male names. And many of the names got misunderstood. One of Prabhupada's female disciples was called Aditya Dasi, but it should have been Aditi, I presume. Like that. I told you that one, the Ladu Vanshi, right? I told you about that one. The one devotee was known as Ladu Vanshi. I think it must have been Yadu Vanshi, but that devotee, they'd heard of Ladus, but they hadn't heard of Yadu. So, and they couldn't understand what Prabhupada said, so it became Ladu Vanshi. And that is, the name is still going on up to the present day.
Maybe they are from Madhu Mangal's.
Maybe they're from Madhu Mangal's Sampradaya. That they only see, they only, whatever they hear reminds them of Ladus. That's possible.
Every initiate devotee with Prabhupada, seriously they work for ISKCON.
All the devotees, did they seriously work for ISKCON? Yeah, it was pretty much, it was very serious. Yeah, it was very serious, no doubt. I mean, there was, but my overall feeling for that time is very happy. It was serious, yeah, but at the same time very blissful.
Now it is not even 20%, 30% serious.
Yeah, there's a lot of unseriousness has come in. That's a fact. Classes were regular, they were serious classes about how we have to surrender to Krishna and all this. All this joking and this and that. That was unusual. To have a joke in a class was not very common, actually. Even one joke in a class, not common. Now some of the classes, it's just one joke after another.
Full of jokes.
Hmm?
Full of jokes.
Very few classes.
Yeah.
They're not much elevated personalities. If attract the people, they will make jokes.
Yeah, yeah. To attract people. We should move because it's going to rain. It's raining already. Okay, let's go.